Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and today on Herculean Physique, I welcome Ryan Foley. Greetings and welcome, Ryan. How are you today?
I'm doing good, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I'm looking forward to our conversation.
I am as well. Yeah, so I'm glad to be back with you. I apologize for having to miss last month due to technical difficulties, but I'm excited to be here with you again tonight. So I just wanted to go through and acknowledge right here at the start. One of the things that I would like to discuss with you tonight is back in June, I passed what I consider to be a pretty significant milestone when it comes to my training. And that is, I don't have the exact date without going through and doing, you know, digging deep back into my research, but I've basically passed 8 years since the day that I went through and decided to go through and change my life for the better. And so so for those of us or for your listeners who may be encountering me for the first time, just to lay everything out here on the table, just a brief history of my journey. Like so many kids in high school, I went through and I did some athletics. I certainly wasn't great at it, but because of playing football, I was not a stranger to the weight room. So I had lifted a little bit whenever I was in high school. I lifted a little bit when I was in college, but it was nothing compared to what I have been doing for the last 8 years. And so I wouldn't call what I had before as a serious weight training program. Now, I am personally of the opinion that I think bodybuilding is something that should be taught in schools. It should be a sport the same way that it is, you know, football or baseball or basketball, only because bodybuilding. Now, whenever we say bodybuilding, I think a lot of people have an incorrect notion of what that means. And so they're naturally assuming we're talking about, you know, the guys who are up there on stage, and clearly, you know, they're the professionals and they are the top 1% of this sport. But I do consider it to be a sport, even though for the most part, I'm competing only with myself. Mm-hmm. But the important thing about bodybuilding is that bodybuilding, so one, it is important because it encompasses, its attempt is to build a well-rounded physique. So it's not just isolating down to a few key exercises. You're going through and you're trying to work each muscle group, but then you're also working to go through and develop a well-rounded physique. So it's not just, I mean, so you've got the three different heads in the shoulder alone in the delts. And so you're going through and you're working each one of those delts in an equal amount. So that way you can build those well-rounded shoulders. I'm personally a fan of lifting weights because it's the only exercise that improves every single sport that's out there. No matter what you play, you can improve your performance by going in and hitting the gym. So just for those that know, full legal disclaimer, I am not a doctor in the least bit, but I just decided in 2014 I wasn't happy with the status of my life. I was not I was, you know, having some not really serious medical difficulties, but just, you know, the issues that I was having from being overweight, be it, you know, the physical aspect, the mental aspect, you know, the emotional aspect, all that sort of stuff. So I just decided to go through and change my life. So I'm located here in the state of Oklahoma, and I'm in the northeast corner of the state. And so that area, I live right in the middle of the Cherokee Nation, the counties that make up the Cherokee Nation. I live in one of those. And so the Cherokees, because of their federal grants, they have top-of-the-line medical care. And it's provided to everyone that is a card-carrying member in the tribe, and that's provided free of charge. So if you're a Cherokee Indian and you have your CDIB card, you can just go to the Indian clinics, and they go through and they take care of you for what you need. So I'm not a card-carrying Indian myself, but my kids are. And so, you know, it was back in 2014. I piggybacked in on my son's membership through the Cherokee Nation. And so what the Cherokees decided to do was they said, okay, we're going to spend a little bit of money here in the beginning, and then we're going to go through and we're going to encourage our members to go through and lift weights. And so if you were a member, you could just go in and use their gym. So piggybacking off of that, I just went in and started figuring out, you know, what works for me and what didn't. And so that required a lot of ups and downs. It was a lot of learning things and figuring out what I liked and what I didn't. And then it was going through and starting to develop, you know, the science of it.
Mm-hmm.
So in going through and in doing this, so this has been 8 years of me going through and figuring this out. And so even though I have been doing this for 8 years, there are still things that I'm learning. There are still techniques that I'm developing. So it has certainly been a long journey, but at the same time, I think it's also tremendously worth it. So I am a comic book author. I'm a science fiction fan, and I think right now there's probably nothing bigger when it comes to franchises than the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Right.
And so because of the most recent Spider-Man movie and Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, so that's one of the things that everyone is kind of focused on right now is that weird multiverse. But this is not an original concept. It's been around for, you know, a really long time, going back to, you know, there was an old TV show called Sliders, and there's, you know, been episodes of comedies like Malcolm in the Middle, where they've shown you, you know, different ways that the story unfolds depending upon the choices that we make.
Right.
And so as a science fiction writer, you know, I kind of want to go, that's how I sometimes look at my life. And while I know it's cliche and you want to sing the lyrics, but we won't, so we, you know, don't get in trouble with the lawyers. but I like to say life is a highway. And so when you go through and you're looking at your life, there's all these different areas where you can go through. You can take an off ramp, you can go on to a different road. And so, but all these different choices that you make, they're going to go through and they're going to steer your life in a different direction. And I think one of the big, the big tentpole moments, the big moments where you can come back and say, this is the moment that changed my life. Typically it's the type of job that you choose. If you get married, if you decide to have children, you know, so those are like those big major moments where you can come back and say, okay, you know, this is the moment where my life changed and everything after that was different. So this is where I took that off ramp. So whenever you go through and you decide to start a program, you are now, you have come to the fork in the road. Mm-hmm. And so let's say you're going to go to the right. You don't know the direction where your life could have gone if you decide to never start that program. If you decide, you know, to choose a different path, it's one of the limitations of us in our linear lives is that we don't know how our lives would have changed. So there is another verse out there with a version of me that never decided to step up and step into that gym. And so as a result, my life, for all I know, is, you know, dramatically different. So in going through, I think that this has been one of the most positive, and it's been one of the best decisions that I've ever made to go through and be to go through and decide to change my life for the better through this. And so I think one of the questions that I would pose to you, because you've been on a journey, you know, just as long as longer than I have. And so you're a person that I go through and I look to for inspiration, because I want to be at the level that you're at when I am your age. And so one of the questions that I wanted to ask, and not just to answer for myself, but I also wanted to ask of you. So if you were just getting started, or if you had the ability to go back and talk to the young version of Hercules, who's just getting ready to get started into all this, what would you tell that young man to help forward him on his journey?
To go with what I know I'm passionate about and just forget everything else. Just focus on my passions because I knew them early on. And I was always into the Greek mythology. I've been into the sword and sandal and the sword and sorcery. I've always been into lifting weights and building strength. I've always liked writing. So it seems like part of my life was spent pursuing dreams that were not my own, that were born of what I believe to be necessity. And then a large part of my life was disentangling myself from the things that I had done or was doing that weren't really what I was all about, and wrestling with these things and trying to do them as hobbies and so forth. And I think I would have saved a lot of heartache if I just, the things I knew I was passionate about when I started my journey, just give most of my energy to those things. And
because of them. So many hours in the day.
Yeah, so I gave up lifting weights several times in my life for long or short periods of time because of, I was working or going to school or, doing, you're really busy with other things that were going on. I always feel happy when I'm exercising, but other things seem to take priority. Then it was getting back in shape and involving diet and exercise. And I delayed starting really seriously also because I believe that it was like a waste of time, was an indulgence, but it wasn't. It was something I felt very passionate about and that fills me with joy. And if I would have stuck to it, I certainly would have been a lot healthier than I am now.
So if you were going to go through and so again, to talk to a version of you that is going through and starting and is going to walk through those gym doors for the first time, is there something that you would go through and want that young man to know when it comes to your training regimen? What is something that you found it either doesn't work for you, or what's the thing that you wish you would have focused more on?
Just not giving it up for any reason, that basically this is something that's vital to my life and is very much a part of who I am. And it's one of my passions in life that has not lessened over the years. So not to give it up, take breaks if you need to for a little while, but don't, give this up. Just follow this path and see where it takes you, and it'll take you far. So
that's the
advice I would give. And also to be careful of what, if I'm applying diets from a long time ago or, to be cautious with the exercise advice and dietary advice I am taking, because I think I gave myself diabetes by following a pre-steroid bodybuilding diet a little too closely. The old type diets before steroids said to drink like a gallon plus of whole milk a day. And lots of oranges and things like that. And I was lactose intolerant, but it took me over a year to build up my tolerance to lactose where I could finish that gallon plus of whole milk a day. But the amount of sugar in the milk and the amount of sugar in the oranges pushed me over what my body could handle and process. And I think that's what gave me the onset of diabetes. So I would tell myself to be a little bit more discerning in the advice I follow, and to try to seek out reasons why I shouldn't do something as well as reasons why I should do something in my continuing experimentation.
I think that's all fantastic. I think the thing that surprises me so much about this journey that I've been on, I do not claim to be reinventing the wheel. I am stealing, quite frankly. I'm stealing, borrowing, adapting, however you want to phrase it, from the people who have come before me. And sometimes I think going through and doing certain research and figuring things out for yourself, I do think it's important to go through and have those, you know, those stepping stones, those building blocks where you can look at someone and say, you know, okay, well, this is what they recommend. And so we'll go through and try to implement that into my own system. So I'm going through, I like yourself, I was, am, not a past tense, am, I'm still a big fan of, you know, action movies. I absolutely love the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Me too.
And so that's one of the things that, you know, my kids and I, we go together as a family to watch those things. And so we've seen these transformations from actors, you know, to see what they have gone through in order to take up these superhero physiques that are becoming so prevalent. And I think one of the dangers that can come from something like that is, I guess maybe idolization is probably a little bit of a bad word there. But, you know, so you're looking at these other people that, you know, oh, well, so if they were able to do it, you know, then surely I'll be able to do it too. And so I think what a lot of people are losing sight of is that, you know, these are professional actors. At much the same way that I have been a fan of professional wrestling for a really long time. And so those guys, you know, they're built up, you know, they're incredible specimens, but it was, so there's a gentleman by the name of Will Poulter. He is the actor that's going to play Adam Warlock in the upcoming Guardians of the Galaxy movie. And, you know, so whenever you go through, thanks to, you know, Google Images and all this sort of stuff, you can see pictures of people and literally see, you know, their development over the years,
right,
or when they get pulled into that Marvel system. And you're like, holy cow, you know, this guy, you know, he transformed into a beast. And Mr. Poulter basically came out and said, do not do this. You know, it's he was very kind, but he said, look, unless you have, if you've got Marvel paying for it, yeah, sure, go nuts. But, you know, so he's working with these professional people that are training him on a daily basis. You know, there are times where he said he felt like he was starving to death. And then there were other times where he was coming along and saying, you know, if I have to eat, you know, another piece of chicken, I'm going to go crazy. So there are times where it's just too much food, other times where it's not enough. But you're also dealing with the best trainers in the world, the best nutritionists in the world. And so I think it's easy to look at these individuals and you want to idolize them. And then whenever you go through and you start developing your own program, when you're not seeing the progress that these individuals are dealing with, you know, it's easy to become disheartened, you know, because you're, oh, I'm not developing, you know, the way that I should. But so one of the new guilty pleasures that I have, and I often listen to it while I'm working out. So I like to listen to podcasts just to, you know, so that way I'm kind of getting two things done at once.
Uh-huh.
And so one of the new podcasts that I've found is called Foley is Pod, no relation, but it's the podcast for Mick Foley, the hardcore WWE legend. And so he's going through it and he's describing, you know, things that have happened, you know, throughout the course of his career. And one of the things that he was talking about is his training regimens. And so Mick does not have the body that, you know, you would compare to someone like a John Cena or a Rock. He's really got more of a brawler's physique, and his weight has fluctuated dramatically over the years. There were some times where he was up as high as 325. There were other times where he would get all the way down to 250. And so he would have other wrestlers comment about how he would bust his butt in the gym like no one had ever seen. But they just said, well, unfortunately, you just don't have the genetics for it. You know, so I do think that there is a certain genetics are going to be a factor. They are.
Right.
I mean, I think one can look at Arnold Schwarzenegger and they can compare him next to Danny DeVito, and you can see who won the genetic lottery in that. But so to go back to what I was talking about before, you know, so I think that there is this, there's a mountaintop, and we're all trying to get there, but we're all going to get there through different ways. But I think what we're finding is that regardless of whatever journey that you're taking to get there, whether it's, you know, a straight line or whether it's a long, you know, circuitous route, we all seem to be gaining towards this, this almost a universal idea of what we're trying to achieve. And so we're achieving it in a strange way by lifting weights. And so it's weird for an outsider who has never experienced what we've experienced to go through and look at it from the outside and say, wait a minute, this is a lifting weights as a path to mental health. That doesn't make, you know, it doesn't, the two don't seem to add up, you know, to where that would work. But essentially what I have found, and one of the things that I would go through, and I would tell myself a couple of things if I was just going to go through and start this journey. It can be very difficult and it can be very confusing because you have different people suggesting all sorts of different scenarios. In going through and doing research for, you know, when you and I were going to talk tonight, sure enough, you know, because I go through and I'm doing research on a fairly regular basis. So in my algorithm, it suggests, you know, this video or this news story or something like that. And the algorithm comes along and I've been hearing all this, you know, this evidence of people saying, oh, HIIT, high intensity interval training. They're saying, this is it. This is the thing that everyone needs because this is the miracle. This is the great thing because it's going to cause you to build muscle. It's going to cause you to shed fat. You're going to go through and you're going to build your aerobic, you know, strength, you know, by going through and doing all this. And now they're coming out with more evidence saying this HIIT may not be all it's cracked up to be. You know, it's like the results that they're promising you are not going to, you know, pan out the way that you think that they are.
Right.
So, yeah. So there's just all these different. Yeah. And I think that's part of the confusion because some people are saying you should lift heavy. Other people are saying you should lift light. Other people are saying, you know, it's like keeping the time under tension, you know, longer. Some people are saying you should do more cardio if you want. And so Mick Foley was one of those saying, hey, that's how I shed the weight, was by doing cardio. But then other people will come along and say, well, you know, technically, you know, they've gone through and they've done the research. And don't get me wrong, this actually, whenever they lay out their rules or their evidence, you're like, okay, that kind of makes sense. So going through, because we've all seen, you know, up at the gym, there are the cardio bunnies, and that's all they do. They come in, you know, they're on the treadmill, and then that's it, and they leave. And then I see the other, you know, and there's other girls up in there, and they're hitting the weights. And you're like, those are the people that are going to see the results, because the idea is whenever you go through and you're doing your cardio and you've got that heart rate elevated, yes, okay, so you're going to go through and you're going to burn calories. So you've got your heart rate elevated, and hopefully it's at a high enough level to where you're going to be able to go through and burn off, because losing weight is a very simple thing. Just because it's simple doesn't mean that it's easy. It's very simple to lose weight. More calories out than in. That's it. That's all you got to do. If you do that, technically you will lose weight. But what I have been concerned with is losing fat while maintaining my muscle mass, which is probably the most difficult thing that you can do. So, and that requires, you know, a lot of dedication. So what you're doing is you're going through and you're lifting these weights. So when you do the cardio, once you come off that machine, then the cardio, the effect is pretty much over. Once your heart rate goes back down, that's it. You're not burning any more calories. Whereas if you go through and you're lifting weights, what you're essentially doing is you're making these little micro tears in your muscles, and then the body has to go through and repair those small tears. So those small tears, what you're feeling, that soreness that you feel the next day, that's your body going through and healing itself. Well, if it has to go through and heal itself, you are essentially burning more calories. So the lifting weight stays with you. Once you get done lifting the weights, you drive home, you shower, you're getting something to eat. All that time, you're still continuing that metabolic burn from going through and lifting the weights. And so then I go through and I hear the research and they're saying, okay, well, if you want to get lean, then you need to go through and you need to lift lighter weights. but you need to lift them more times. And then they're coming back and saying, well, no, technically you've got to go through and lift heavy so that way you can get that greater metabolic burn. And so, yeah, it can be, you know, just tremendously overwhelming for someone because, well, this person's telling me this, this person's telling me that. And so really what I think that the best exercise that anyone can do is the exercise that they do. I know that sounds somewhat, fortune cookie, wisdom, but to me, by going through and you want to develop a program that you personally enjoy doing. And so when someone told me, oh yeah, HIIT, that's the way to go. So you're going to sprint for 40 seconds and then you're going to rest for 20. And, and I was like, I'm not entirely certain that I'd be able to sprint, for 40 seconds and then, rest for 20. So, and every time that I attempted to do stuff like that, it drained my tank so much that I didn't have any energy left over. So then as a result, my workouts were getting cut shorter. So my mentality was I'm going to do my serial killer cardio, the steady state, but I'm doing it at an incline, so I'm working hard while I'm doing it, but it's that steady state cardio because I can do that for a long time. And I feel like I could get more done, but the thing is I'm just not doing it in a hurry. But as a result, because I'm not taking medicine, I mean, we've all got places to go and things to do, but, by going through and doing that steady state, I can work out longer and therefore I can get more stuff done. So I think that would be one of the two things that I would tell myself is to go through and develop that program that you like. And so whenever I come on here and I want to talk to your listeners, it's not about me coming along and telling them, okay, you're going to follow this very specific plan because every person's body type is going to be different, what they can do and what they can't do and, their comfort zone, things like that. So that's where I'm trying to encourage people more, not necessarily don't listen to me, but go out and find out what works for yourself. Find out what you enjoy doing. And if that's what you enjoy doing, then by all means do it. Because there's the big argument. I don't know if that's necessarily the best term, but, so there's all these conflicting opinions where people are saying, well, do you do your cardio before you lift your weights? Do you do your cardio after you lift your weights? And so, again, that's where I go down to. In my research, what I've found is that the reason why they tell you not to go overboard on your cardio at the start of a workout is because they don't want you to compromise your ability to go through and lift weights. So what I started doing with mine is I just started splitting it. I'd go through and I'd do a little cardio to get warmed up, to get the blood and the juices all flowing. And then I'd go through and I'd lift and then I'd close it out with a second round of cardio. And that seems to work for me. That's something that I enjoy doing. But going back to one of the things that you mentioned earlier about how you're happy when you're exercising.
Yes.
So I recently read Terry Crews's book, Power. And in that, it was a very enlightening read about this man who is attempting to reshape masculinity, what that means to go through and to be a real man. And one of the things that he had talked about was that working out for that hour in the day makes the other 23 hours easier. And I'm fully on board with that statement. I think he's absolutely spot on with that advice.
I think so too.
So this is where I go through and I'm looking at all these different people and all the different things that they have to say. And I think what I've found is, so again, it goes back to that mountaintop metaphor. We're all trying to go through and we're trying to find the way up the mountain. And so you can have all these different people from all these different places, societies, cultures, even who have, we shouldn't have any sort of connection with one another. But yet, if you go through and you put us all through these different paces, as we're all going through and climbing up the mountain through all our different routes, we're all eventually going to get to that state where we're all finding the same thing. So regardless of who we are. And so what I've found is that there is a foundation that you have to go through in order to build a very strong house. And because I know we had talked about this a little bit before in the past, and back in the day, I always listed it as three pillars, but the world is changing. We're hopefully, you know, getting back to normal and things are going to start to level out, and we're going to get back to how we were pre-COVID. And I've developed a fourth pillar. And so I think while three, tripod is good, but if I can get four, that house is even stable, even more stable for me to put the house on. And so the four levels that it goes through and it helps me with is physical improvement. That's one. Intellectual improvement, because I'm going through and I'm doing this research and I'm studying. So that's helping my brain. There is the emotional component, which I think it has certainly made me a much more caring and a much more empathetic person. And then the fourth level is social, because the social aspect, now that the gyms are starting to fill back up again, there, you know, we're interacting with people, letting someone work in, helping someone out, you know, offering some advice. So you're going through and you are developing your social skills while going through and helping these people out. Now, I know you're saying that mostly you work out at home now. Is that correct?
That's correct. I work out almost exclusively at home. And I'm doing a lot like light weights, heavy repetitions. And right now I took a few days break and I'm going to be starting with the X3 tomorrow. I've gotten really good results with the X3.
Right. Well, so I think this the other part that I would want to go through and add into people here. So there's a variety of different aspects of our lives. And so it all comes down to mindfulness. And I think we're trying to go through and we're trying to achieve this, you know, this state. And with everything that has been going on, especially within the last couple of weeks, it's sometimes difficult for me to talk about, because on one hand, I don't want to feel apathetic. I want to know what's going on in the world. But then there are other times where I don't want to look at it anymore, you know, or I can't take looking at it anymore. So I feel like I want to go through, I want to retreat, but at the same time, I don't want to come across as apathetic or, you know, so, but there are times where, I mean, the world can be a pretty rough place. And so I've got two different people who were basically saying the same thing, and they could not be on more opposite ends of the spectrum of these two individuals. So I'm probably going to go through and mispronounce his name and potentially butcher it, but he's a Vietnamese Buddhist monk. And so his name is Thich Hat Hanh. I'm probably just completely butchering that. But so he wrote The Miracle of Mindfulness. So he's a peace activist. He's an author. He's a poet. He's a teacher. And one of the things that he was talking about, he said, and I'm quoting here, when washing dishes must be the most important thing in your life. Similarly, when drinking your tea, drinking the tea must be the most important thing in your life. When you're using the bathroom, allow it to be the most important thing in your life. So what this Buddhist monk is talking about is this mindfulness that we, you know, so that's what we're attempting to do, is to live within this infinite now. Now, the guy on the other end of the spectrum, his name is Etior Ewan, and he's known to the masses as Big E. He is a professional wrestler. And he is this an outstanding athlete. He's a physical specimen that is just unbelievable. And unfortunately, he suffered a fairly, you know, significant injury So he's out of action right now in the WWE. But so Big E went through and he was talking about how when he goes to the weight room to get his mind right. So he goes through and it's not so he goes through, he shuts everything out, and for that hour within the day, that is him focusing solely on himself. And so again, this is not a scenario where, you know, Big E said this quote and I saw it and looked at it and went, yep, okay, that's it. I'm going to believe that because Big E, you know, said this. It was more along the lines of, I totally get what he's going for. I completely understand what he means whenever he's talking about that. And so I'm like, yes, that's the reason why I do it. So going back to your earlier statement about being happy when you lift weights, I think the only drawback that I ever have when it comes to getting to the gym is the alarm going off at 5:45 in the morning. It's, you know, driving up to the, you know, it's not an issue right now, but when it's cold and when it's dark and all you want to do is stay in that bed,
yes.
But then you think, no, I got to get up. I got to get going. And then once I'm on my way, once I'm there, because there's been more than a few times where it's just, you know, I didn't want to go, but I forced myself, you know, to get up, we'll get going and let's just go up there. We'll do a little bit, you know, we'll do a little bit. We'll see how we feel. And then I ended up doing far more than I anticipated because once I got in there and the blood got flowing, and so everything was great. So that's one of the things that whenever someone comes to me and they're asking me questions, you know, about, you know, how do I do this? How do I do that? It's not so much the technique that I want to impart to them. But that's the reason why I want them to go to the gym. So that way they feel that same level that I do. And so I see people and I'm not going to tell them because I'm not that guy. They have to kind of come to this understanding on their own, but I see these people and it's hard for me to say this and not make it sound like I'm going into angry old man mode. So I see these guys and, you know, so they go through, they do a set, you know, they're holding the bench down, you know, by sitting on it or they're looking at their phone. And so now I admit freely, I go through, I listen to podcasts or I go through and I play my music, but I stay off my phone as much as possible. If you see me on my phone, it's probably just because I'm fast forwarding, you know, through an ad read or I'm switching to another song that I'd rather listen to. But I try to stay away from my phone as much as possible. And then I've even come back and I'm not saying that I've yelled at people, but it's like, you know, if I, you know, see that notification come up on my phone, I'm ignoring it. You're not getting an answer, you know, until I'm done and I can go through and focus on my, because I'm going to go through, I'm going to focus on myself for that hour and a half. That's me. That's my time. So I'm going through and getting my mind right. And so I feel like if there are people out there who are, they're going through, you know, they do a set and then they're answering a message on their phone. Yeah. And then maybe they go through and they do a set or they walk around or something like that. To me, they're not in the river. They're not in that flow that we're attempting to find, that state of, you know, where all you're focused on is just, it's you and the weight. And the weight doesn't care. The weight doesn't care. It's either you lift it or you don't. So it's no yes man. It's no someone that's, you know, whispering in your ear telling you how great you are. The weight doesn't care. Lift it or you don't. And so to me, it is a tremendous equalizer, and it can humble you. So by going through and focusing on that, when it's just me and the weight, this is where I go back to a thing of, I've been doing meditation for 8 years and didn't even realize it because, you know, I came at it from a different way, but I still got there. And so it's kind of one of those things where that's where I wish I could tell the people, hey, if you treat this the right way and you go through and you develop this, the physical changes that you go through, those almost become secondary. Whereas you think, and it's this weird swing where you would think, oh, yeah, I'm going through and I'm doing all this because I want to get all jacked or I want to get swole. And really, it's not so much about that for me anyway. I mean, and so it's, we'll let that take care of itself. But for me, it's one of those things. It's more about going through and developing that emotional mindfulness, that here in the moment where I'm going through and doing something positive for myself.
That sounds very profound and very doable. I too meditate. I've been meditating for years. I aim for twice or sometimes two times a day. It winds up that I'll do it once or twice a day. Just like with working out, I'll aim for 7 days a week. I usually wind up with 5-6, but I hit 7 fairly often. And I find that the meditation in and of itself is just as helpful as the workouts. I can get the output pretty quickly now, mostly by practicing the Silva method a long time ago.
Okay.
And occasionally I'll revisit it, like I revisit Charles Atlas with my physical culture. Just to go back to the roots, go back to the foundation and re-experience that. But I find that the meditation relaxes my body. It dispels negativity, and it focuses me. My mind is clear so that what I need to focus on, I could focus on a lot better than if my mind was chattering or going all over the place during the course of the day.
I think that's kind of one of those things where I think we have advanced as a society to a point where our technology has outpaced us, into which we are not able to, we haven't been able to keep up. I think we'll get there eventually, but right now we are bombarded on almost a daily, or I mean, if you're addicted to your phone, almost an hourly thing of all the terrible stuff that's going on in the world. And so while I think it's important to not eschew it entirely, there are times where I think you do have to go through and take care of yourself. It's the metaphor that I often use with my friends is, there's a reason why they tell you if you're in a plane and in the event of the loss of cabin pressure, we want you to put the oxygen mask on yourself first before you try to help anyone else, because while it's very nice and considerate that you would try to go through and help someone else before you would put their well-being above your own, that is something that is tremendously noble. But at the same time, if you're not taking care of yourself and if you black out, now you have become a potential problem for other people. So there are times where I think it is good to go through and take care of yourself, to take care of your star player. It's as sad as it is, but as also as tremendously realistic as it is.
Mm-hmm.
You are the only person You are the only person that you are going to travel this entire journey with.
Right.
The parents will pass away. Things can happen to your siblings, hopefully not, but my kid, I've traveled this earth for a pretty long time before my kids, arrived. So I am the only person that's, going to go on this entire journey with me. So there are times where I do think it is perfectly acceptable to go through and be selfish, if only for an hour and a half or 2 hours a day, to go through and get yourself mentally right. And so I've been going through with a mission to, I told myself at the start of the year, I wanted to do 365 miles worth of cardio in 2022. I went through and I changed up my intra workout supplements that I wasn't taking before because, something had gone a little bit wrong. I didn't have the energy that I needed. So I went through and I made a change and I saw a dramatic change in that time frame. And so I was, you know, putting in a lot more cardio. And so, you know, as of right now, you know, I'm closing in on close to 300 miles of my cardio. And so here we are in June or in July. So, but by going through and giving myself that, I mean, I've got a chart, you know, I've got an Excel spreadsheet where I go through and I plug in my numbers, you know, every single day to go through. And so as a result, I'm able to see, you know, what days I took off. I'm able to see, you know, days that I went longer, days that I didn't. And so just because Saturday is always a tremendously, you know, busy day for me. And then Friday, I had too much stuff going on. So I missed those days and I felt down. I didn't feel, I wasn't at the level that I'm typically at. And so as a result, you know, I was back in the gym on Sunday and I was, you know, back up at the gym today. And so as a result, you can just feel that different level of energy. So yeah, it goes back to what you were saying before, where you and I were running along that same path, even though, you know, it's, we're separate from each other. We're both figuring out that same, where we just, I feel better after I go through and I work out. And I think that's kind of one of those, it's again, it's that counterintuitive thing that a person on the outside who's looking in, it wouldn't make logical sense to them. So wait a minute, you have more energy after you work out? Oh yes, absolutely. You're more mentally focused, you know, by going through and lifting these weights? Absolutely. Yes, I am. And so, and then it's, as it is crazier for me to say, yes, I am more emotionally in tune with not just with myself, but with other people around me. I'm more willing to help. I'm willing to, you know, come on here and talk with you for an hour just in hopes that just one person will go through and say, well, you know, hey, I hear what this guy is saying. And so, yeah, let's go through and let's give that a try. Because we never know how these ripple effects are going to land by going through and throwing that stone in the pond, and then the ripples go through and they radiate outward. There's no telling who all we're going to affect with our lives, and chances are there are effects that we know have occurred. But if I can help someone out, that's one of the things I'm always more than happy to do.
Well, these conversations have helped me out a lot because, again, it's we're on the same journey, but we're taking different paths. But I've learned a lot from your path. And one of the exercises you suggested has actually become part of my routine and my cycle. You suggested a while ago doing like pyramids and then inverse pyramids with five repetitions and going up till you can no longer do five and then go back down. I modified it over the years since you suggested. Now I do 12. I'll do in 5-pound increments, starting with 5 pounds. Actually it's 7.5 pounds because I use a wrist weight with the weights. So, but they go up in 5-pound increments. And I go to like no longer do 5 good reps, and then I go down with the inverse side of the pyramid. And I find that the way I've separated my body now to do the exercises where the body parts are 2 to 3 times a week, depending on the rotation, that helps and it gives me a really good pump and it's a very satisfying workout and I don't get bored with it.
Good. Well, you know, so I know that a lot of what we've talked about here tonight has primarily been, I don't know, would metaphysical be the right term? I'm not entirely certain, but it's more of an ethereal nature that we've been discussing here as opposed to, you know, specific lifting strategy. But just to give people, so if I were going to give, you know, my one point of advice to that listener who's just going through and just getting started. So there is the constant argument of, you know, well, how much should you be lifting? How many reps should you be doing? And I think one of the most important things that I would tell someone who's just getting started is the difference between a compound lift and an isolation lift.
Uh-huh.
So a compound lift is anything that requires you to move more than one joint. So for instance, the bench press, you're going through and you're moving the joint at your shoulders, at your elbows, at your wrists. You know, if you're doing a squat, then you're hinging, you know, with your hips, you're moving your knees, you're moving your ankles. And so as a result, whereas opposed to an isolation exercise, you're only moving one joint. So let's say like a bicep curl. So with a bicep curl, you've just got that movement in the elbow. And so as a result, if you have a compound lift, by the very definition of it, what you're doing is you're incorporating more muscles into that lift. And so then as a result, since you're incorporating more muscles and that stress and that strain is being distributed amongst multiple, you know, muscle groups within the body, you're able to lift more. It's the reason why you can go through and you can deadlift a tremendous amount more than you can by just doing, say, a dumbbell lateral raise.
Right.
I saw a video where a gentleman was explaining how we see it in sci-fi movies. We see it in fantasy movies all the time, where the hero comes along and he lifts the bad guy up by the neck, you know, and he's holding him out with his arm fully extended, you know, because he's so strong. But they're like, you know, physically, you know, like through physics, that's impossible, because the guy, I mean, unless the guy weighs 5 pounds and you weigh 500, you know, you're going to tip over by holding him out in that way. And so I mention that only because when people go through it and they say, you know, oh, well, should I be lifting, you know, really heavy? Should I be lifting light? And my recommendation would be to lift smart. And so if you can go through and you can lift extremely heavy, yes, do that on exercises where you are incorporating multiple, you know, muscle groups, multiple joints. So that way you can go to, yes, you can definitely lift heavy when it comes to the bench press or the squat or the deadlift. That's where lifting heavy can be extremely beneficial. But at the same time, every time that I've ever gotten hurt, it's been through lifting weights that was a little too heavy. So therefore, I think, again, doing what is best for you, I think that the benefit comes from, so if they tell you, oh, well, you're supposed to lift heavy, and other people are telling you, no, you're supposed to lift light, but you're supposed to lift it for more reps. So my recommendation would be is to do both. There's nothing that says you can't go through and do one set that is extremely heavy and then finish that off by doing more sets that are more focused on isolation movements and doing lesser weight. So you have your bulk building repetitions. But then you also have that sculpting phase where you're trying to go through and you're hitting all of those different muscles, but you're doing it in a safe manner. Because if you were to go through and do the side lateral raise, so if you have the dumbbell and you have it positioned down at your hip and you're lifting it straight up with just a little bit of bend in your elbow, but you're lifting your arm then straight up. So if you were looking at me as if I was the Vitruvian man, I'm moving my arm from, say, 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock, maybe, 10:30 maybe at the most. So you're going through and you're lifting that weight. Well, that would be foolish for me to attempt to do that with a 100-pound dumbbell. That makes absolutely no sense, because then you're going to go through, you're going to tear some stuff up if you're going through and doing that. But if you're working more with a lighter weight where you can focus on your form, where that surgical form is really the key, I think if you can go through and if you can do that, then you're starting to incorporate a variety of different things. So when people tell you, oh, well, you know, you've got to do cardio if you're going to lose weight. Well, no, you've got to lift weights if you want to lose weight. Then that would be my biggest recommendation, would be to just incorporate a little bit from all of it. While I know it is a terrible metaphor for me to list it this way, but I would treat that thing like an all-you-can-eat buffet. I would just go through and pick out the stuff that you like, choose what you feel is going to be best for you, and then as you go through and you start to develop it, you'll start to figure out, okay, this exercise I like, this exercise I don't, so now let's just go through and let's continue to tweak and develop it and develop a system that's right for you. Because unfortunately, I wish that I could tell you there is a one miracle system that if you go through and you take this and you train this way, you will develop the same body as Chris Hemsworth. I wish I could tell you that was true. It's just not the case. And so while it's not something that everyone enjoys to hear, it's a thing where sometimes it does take a tremendous amount of trial and error to figure out what is best for you personally.
That is very true. And the road that we've discussed very often, and also that when Michael DeRusse is on the show, or when Bill is on the show from Super Strength Training, Bill Hinburn, it's that what works for you may not work for anybody else, and then somewhere down the line it may no longer work for you anymore. So you have to
right.
experiment. It's a journey that it's the journey itself that should provide the satisfaction, and the body that you're producing or manifesting, that's a signpost along the way to the journey.
Man, I am so glad that you said that, because it sparked, something in my brain that, I should have brought up. So there is a young man who I mentor a little bit in the gym. And there are times where I see the stuff that he's doing wrong and I kind of want to correct him. But then at the other time, it's like, I'm going to let him figure that thing out for himself, mm-hmm. because I don't think he's quite ready to hear what I'm going to tell him. So I'll let him go for a little bit longer. I'll let him figure it out on his own. So he was obsessed. That may not be a great word, but he was tremendously focused. He was tremendously focused about wanting to join the 1,000-pound club, which that's where you're going through and you're lifting 1,000 pounds across three different exercises. So, 400 pounds on your deadlift, 300 pounds, 350 on your squat, and then 250 on your bench. So and different people have different strengths. But he wanted to get to that 1,000-pound club. And then he did, and balloons didn't fall from the ceiling, and confetti didn't shoot off out of cannons. He didn't even get a t-shirt, I'm a member of 1,000 pounds. And so he was a tad bit disappointed in that. And he's like, where am I going to go from here? And what am I going to do from here? And that's where I just I'm going to let him go through. I'm going to let him go a little bit longer. Let him sit with it just a little bit. But yet, you're not enjoying the journey. And mm-hmm. I think enjoying the journey is more important than the results, because if you're not enjoying the journey, you're going to trudge up and, I guess I'll go to the gym again today. But when I'm up there, I'm having fun. I enjoy myself. And so that's really the thing. So that's what I hope everyone can find whenever they go through and they start on this journey. So yes, when you're going on that journey, when you're enjoying the path that you're walking on, you don't want it to end, because you're enjoying the journey.
Enjoying the journey. And the nature of the journey changes. Like at this particular point in time in my life, I'm no longer as able to do the heavy poundages all the time as I was when I was younger, but that's okay. It forced me to really look at what's important and what started this journey and what parts of it give it the most joy, and to modify what I'm doing. And this way I can still keep doing it. It's a little bit different, but because I experiment all the time, my journey's always been a little bit different. So it's all good. And on that note, we have to close. We have a minute left, and I'd like you to share your contact info and any upcoming projects. You are a comic book writer. You are a writer.
Yes, and so how you promote me on Facebook is probably the absolute best way for people to get in touch with me. As far as to my upcoming projects, I am sprinting downhill at this point, trying to finish the first draft of a prose novel that I am writing that's going to become the third book in a series that I'm currently writing right now. And I have to get that done so that way I can switch back to massaging and proper and putting the final edits on a second book, which is going to be released, hopefully, fingers crossed, if I can get everything done in October.
Awesome.
So it's kind of one of those things. There's a few other projects out there that, unfortunately, I can't talk about at this time. But it's a thing where, I'm going through and I've been running downhill with my writing and just really, really enjoying it. But how you promote me on Facebook is the absolute best way for people to get in contact with me.
So I will continue to do so. I'm making some changes in the months ahead, and I will talk to you in a private conversation about those. But I think you'll be pretty happy with the changes I'm making. Thank you, Ryan. Sure. It's always a pleasure. I'm looking forward to our next conversation already, and I wish you great success with all your projects.
Thank you very much, sir. I definitely appreciate it.
And thanks to everybody who tuned in, whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, whether you called and you're waiting patiently in our queue, or whether you check us out later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. And again, thank you, Ryan.
Thank you.